This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we talk with a Port Ludlow couple who finally reached retirement age, then in their golden years, decided to try something radically different. They're hiking more than 2,500 miles from Mexico to Washington, through the mountains, carrying their tents, bags, food, and supplies on their backs every day for 5 months. And now, we go inside the Compass. Each year, nearly a million hikers set foot on the Pacific Crest Trail. Most are just day hikers, but some try to go the distance. 2,600 miles of rugged mountain terrain. Less than 0.4% complete the entire journey. More than a dozen have died trying. Most who make it are young and in the prime of their life. And then we have Mike and Elaine Raymond, a pleasant, gray-haired Port Ludlow couple easing into a life of retirement. Except, they refuse to take it easy. Mike and Elaine are preparing for an intense adventure, climbing mountains from Mexico to Washington. It will take 5 months to span the Pacific Crest Trail, if they're lucky. Mike, you just retired from a long career as a Chimicum elementary school teacher, so now you can relax and take it easy. Why in the world would you decide to spend 5 months walking in the mountains from California to Washington?
Well, we've always really enjoyed outdoor challenges, and we have done a lot of outdoor challenges together. So this is our next one. We've been talking about this for how long?
Oh, at least 15 years.
15 years you've been talking about this particular challenge. How and when did this passion for climbing mountains happen? Let's start with you, Mike.
Well, I grew up here in Port Townsend and became a teacher and then in Chimicum and then came across a guy that was, well, he was a climber. And he always lamented the fact that he didn't have anybody to go out in the mountains with. And I said, you know, I've been a runner. I've enjoyed the outdoors. And I said, I'll do that. And he said, yeah, but you got to get trained to do it. And I said, okay, what have I got to do? And so we started and out scrambling, non-technical climbing out in the Olympics and a little bit off trail. And I really enjoyed it and kind of kept it up.
And how about you, Elaine? Have you always been a risk taker?
Oh, I am not a risk taker. And I definitely don't do outdoor adventures for thrill. It's more the sense of accomplishment. I'm more the backpacker hiker, and Mike is more the climber. But I ended up by tagging along with him, being a climber as well. But it was really the long distance backpacking, being out in the wilderness for long periods of time, is what attracted me to being hiking and eventually climbing.
Now, I don't want to be impolite and ask your age, but I will have to say that since you are both retired, I can ask you, at what age did you start doing this sort of adventure, the hiking?
I was in my early 40s when I started doing my first hiking and backpacking.
Early 40s. And you started this, Mike?
Pretty much in my mid-30s. Early 30s.
Have either one of you been on any part of the Pacific Crest Trail before?
Oh, yeah, we have.
Do tell.
One of the things we did, I mean, we've been working up to this for kind of a long time. And we do summer trips with our kids, or especially our second daughter, Colleen. And one of the things we wanted to do was to kind of do a week kind of trip. And he said, well, what could we do? And we had a time during the summer, about a week, then said, okay, we're going to do this. And what should we do? We decided to plan a trip from Snoqualmie Pass to Stevens Pass. Mm-hmm. Well, the trail that we're going to use that we were going to hike in that section is the Pacific Crest Trail. So that was one of those ideas that kind of gave us going like, wow, this is really beautiful. This is a good trail. It's interesting. You know, it's through the Alpine Lakes Wilderness. And we said, oh, it was like 75 miles with huge packs, which were like not always comfortable, but we loved it. And the food was great. Elaine does a great job of deciding on the food and everything. And I couldn't get enough of it.
So 75 miles, huge packs. What part of that is something that you really loved and couldn't get enough of? I'm looking at you, Elaine.
It is, we kind of talk about what is it that draws us out there. And there is something that is just very, especially when you're working, it's very peaceful to just focus on the very basics of food, water, sleep, and just keep walking. That's all of your concerns out there. All of the other things of life just tend to fall away, and you just focus on those very basic things of life, and it's very satisfying.
Basic things like survival.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think it's very mentally restoring to go out and just work together as a team, and we've always kind of done this together as a team, and we plan and kind of have our roles, which are not set in concrete or anything like that. We can both probably do everything that we need to do, but it's a satisfaction of doing it together. That's another big part of why we do this.
Of all of the hikes and climbs that you guys have done, what was the scariest moment? Can you think of anything at all? You said, wow, that was close.
Yeah. I think the scariest moment, well, it's with lightning.
Uh-huh.
I think probably the scariest one is that, you know, we've been trying to knock off all of the Cascade volcanoes. Well, we've got Baker, Glacier, Adams, Rainier, St. Helens, Hood, and the next one south that we could actually drive to reasonably was Mount Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Which is in Oregon. It's about 10,500 feet or something like that. It's not, you know, that's a reasonable elevation or altitude for us to go to. So we packed up and we headed out into the trail, and it was a beautiful day, and we found our way along. I don't think we saw too many other people. Well, we started going up, getting off the trail up to a place where we had decided that we were going to set up our tent and then go up to the summit the following morning. We had all of our gear, ice axes, crampons, rain jackets, everything that would keep us warm, dry, pretty secure. And we got up to our camp, and this is on the north side of the peak, and around the peak from the south started to kind of develop some clouds. And it's one of those kind of stories you might have heard that people say just happened, especially in Colorado. Things happen very quickly to the weather there. And this did happen very, very quickly. We heard thunder in the distance. And we just kind of looked at each other and said, I think we may want to get down off here, because it was pretty exposed. No trees around. It was just kind of an open plateau. And by the time we had everything packed up in our pack and were heading down, those clouds had come around and there were lightning strikes around us.
Mm.
It was the only time that I actually had to search out a place where I felt that we would be safe from lightning strikes. Just a shallow depression between a couple of smaller rock outcroppings. I actually told Elaine, I said, I think we should take off our packs and sit on our packs so that we can avoid ground current.
Wow.
Put our ice axes away, our trekking poles away from us, and just sit there and sit still. And we saw lightning strikes around us actually starting fires in the trees.
Wow.
And so one to the right of us, one to the left of us, one ahead of us, that lasted for probably a good 30 minutes to 45 minutes. Clouds weren't gone. It was still raining, still windy, still stormy, but the lightning had subsided enough where I said, okay, let's go. And we got down. And that's the thing that you do, especially with lightning, is get down. And so we got out of there, and we were fortunate. And lightning is kind of one of those scary things, because there are a lot of climbers, a lot of hikers that are killed by lightning every year.
So, Elena, you're sitting there and seeing strikes all around you starting fires. What's going through your mind?
Just that we're doing the right thing, that we know that we're hunkered down here and just waiting for an opportunity to get down further. So
no fear?
I Yes, definitely. Definitely. There's been many times that I have been afraid, probably many more times than Mike. It is, yes, very unnerving, but you just are in the situation and you do what you know to do to for your best odds of survival, and then head up as soon as you can. And it's a relief when you finally get out of the situation.
To this date, what has been your most difficult climb so far?
Well, that would be by far Mount McKinley or Denali. We had to manage two attempts. We got turned around on our first attempt in 2004. So we were with a guided party, but we had to carry all of our own things and pull our own sleds and do our own camping and manage ourselves. But it was the conditioning that goes into that kind of trip takes a long time. We probably trained very hard for over a year and a half.
Wow.
To be able to feel like we were ready for that. And we probably weren't completely physically ready enough. And 4 years after that, we went back again with the same group or the same guiding company, and had worked a lot harder, did a lot more training. And, you know, Elaine can maybe describe what she thinks about the training that we did and what she remembers most about it.
Well, for our training, one of the big differences is weightlifting. So for our second trip, we focused a lot more on lifting weights and weight training, as well as the aerobics part. But we also worked every single day. We went 4 months without a rest day. We essentially, when we were in training, we worked, came home, worked out, went to bed. Every weekend we were out hiking something just to get our legs in shape. And to keep that level of fitness is a huge commitment. And things like family are difficult to fit in when you're on that kind of a training schedule.
Is it safe to say that the trail from California all the way to Washington will be the most difficult thing you've attempted so far?
I would say, well, it's hard to know. We have not been out for 5 months. I think one of the difficult things for me is missing out on our family activities for that long a period, as well as missing the whole golf season. Our granddaughter's first birthday, we will not be there. We will probably be FaceTiming as soon as possible, but missing those kind of things. So we haven't really experienced being out and away for that long. So it's hard to know. It's a different kind of challenge, I think, than some of the other things that we've done.
And Mike, we've talked about the training you did for the other big climbs. This is maybe not climbing so high, but a long time doing it. Tell us about the training that are doing for this.
Well, one of the things that I'm always amazed at is that we do most of the training that we really do consistently in our living room. And we just do step aerobics. And it's at a high, you know, rate of speed. It's very quick movements. We focus on balance. We focus on endurance. And I think that's the main thing that we are trying to do is, can we make our feet and legs go 20 miles a day? So we did sort of a couple of training trips last summer, one in the summer, one in the fall, of about 65 to 70 miles through the Olympics over several passes, where our plan was to do at least, maybe 12 miles a day, you know, and we ended up doing almost 15 and 20 miles a day, where we were just saying, we were going so fast. You just got to move your feet fast. You've got to be able to carry a pack. You have to have the determination. You have to be able to still have some energy left over when you get to camp to set up things and still say, wow, that was a great day. And so we did a couple of those and really enjoyed them. The things that we don't remember are the bugs. We're going to be running into, I'm sure, to a lot of bugs. The sore feet, the sore shoulders, you know, those kinds of things. The dirt in our shoes, we don't care so much about that. It's just that it's just the doing it. It really, for us, it is the journey.
A lot of people who start the trail don't end up finishing it. Do you guys have any doubts at all that you're going to be able to finish?
So we have looked at and read about reasons that so many people do not finish. And surprisingly, it's not due to physical things. it seems that the number one reason that people leave is because of the mental challenge. It is, I think, a combination of things, of being away from your families is a big one. That's what I think about. But also because of the length of time, to some people can be very monotonous. Some people who are looking more for more thrill-seeking may find it long periods of time where there isn't, you know, that adrenaline rush like climbing can give you. Mm-hmm. But I think because that's not what we're looking for, like I said, we're prepared as well as we think we can be, that we're pretty confident that we can make it.
What would be your worst fears? What kind of dangers might one experience while spending nearly half a year walking in those mountains?
Well, I think some of the things are maybe if there's too much heat in the desert. Although we do have some experience hiking in Volcanoes National Park for a week where it was very hot. And we had strategies to deal with that. Finding enough water. I think one of the things that we have noticed that we've had practice at doing kind of contending with is stream crossings. Or river crossings. And that, from what I understand, is probably going to be the most dangerous part of what we do. And I know that a couple of people were killed in the Sierra last year because they did an inadvisable stream crossing.
Do you have kids who are going to be worried about mom and dad every day for the next for the 5 months that you're on the Pacific Crest Trail?
I don't know.
You do have kids.
We do have kids, but they're all grown. I think they kind of sometimes wonder why we do this, but I think they somehow have an understanding, some more than others. They'll wonder where we are, but they're generally supportive. They know that we've been planning this for quite some time, and I think sometimes they think we're kind of crazy, but you know, that why don't we go shopping or go to the theater or something like that? But we like the outdoors. We like finding that seclusion or that isolation and being up against just nature and being able to deal with it together.
Tell us about the kind of preparation that's required for this kind of adventure. You talked about the training, but it's a lot more prep than that, yes?
Yes, definitely. Just the logistics. There are different ways to prepare, particularly like food and gear are probably the next big things beyond your physical conditioning. We are choosing to buy all of our food or most of it and send it to supply drops. There are people who just head out and they buy whatever they can find in the trail towns. So, and then there's the kind of the combination of both. But we know what kind of trail food that we like. As Mike said, I usually pick the menu, but he does most of the cooking. And we know what works for us. And so we are wanting to have that food available for us.
And we've got some lightweight gear that we've invested in. We have new packs that are about half of the weight of the packs that we've had before. We've gone with a lighter weight tent that's maybe a pound less. Water filtration is probably, the new system we have is maybe a quarter of the weight that we had before. And they tend to be smaller. Elaine's going to be getting a new sleeping bag, which is probably about a pound less and compresses better than the one that she has now. Looking at our clothing, we have to choose what clothes we're going to take with us, and we're not going to have, you know, many changes. We're going to be wearing the same clothes over and over and over and over again until we have a chance to maybe stick them in a laundromat someplace along the way.
Perhaps the most famous person to hike the Pacific Crest Trail was Cheryl Strayed, who wrote the number one best-selling book about it called Wild, which was made into a movie starring Reese Witherspoon. Did you read the book or see the movie? And if so, what are your thoughts about how Cheryl prepared for her journey?
Well, I think we're maybe have a little bit more emotional difference in our approach to it. I think that she was looking to solve some problems or cure some kinds of ills that she had in her life, and she was kind of looking for a reset. That's not why we're doing this.
So, yes, we have both read the book and we saw the movie, and Mike had the opportunity also to see her do a presentation in person. Mm-hmm. And yes, as Mike said, her experience is definitely different than ours, but everybody has their own experience out there hiking and the reasons for doing it, and whatever the reason is up to that individual person.
I'm curious about the backstory of a person who thinks this is a good idea. Elaine, tell us about where you grew up, what you did for fun, and what you did for a living.
So I grew up here in Washington in Longview, and I read the book The High Adventures of Eric Rybak. When I was a teenager, he was the first person to officially hike the Pacific Crest Trail before it was even as fully developed as it is now. I think back, I have no idea why or how I got that book, but I still remember it. It had an influence just kind of in the background. I didn't have any opportunity to be very athletic or outdoors growing up, but whenever I saw a trail, I always wanted to like walk on it to the end, but never had the opportunity. So especially why I probably didn't have the opportunity was having family, children, going to college, job, and it hasn't been until, as I said, recently that I've had the opportunity to actually finally walk on those trails that I've always wanted to. Mm-hmm.
And how'd you meet Mike?
Mike and I actually met on the ferry.
Really?
Yes. As Mike said, he was involved in the Mountaineers. I had started having some hiking and snowshoeing and scrambling courses with the Mountaineers. So we had a mutual friend, and I was actually coming home from a late work meeting, and he was coming home from some Mountaineers training, and the mutual person who knew us both introduced us, and that's where it started.
Interesting. And what about your backstory, Mike? We know that you were a teacher for many years at Chimicum Elementary School. Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up and what did you do for fun?
Well, I'm a native of Port Townsend.
Uh-huh.
And have grown up here. I grew up here with my parents and sister, and was pretty athletic. You know, I participated in Port Townsend athletics and basketball and a little bit of football and tennis and a lot of those things. And I had a lot of friends that were pretty athletically oriented. And then when I became a teacher, one of the things that I could do was running. So I did a lot of, I've done the roadie run many times and the swim irrigation runs. And you know, I wanted to kind of stay in pretty good shape. And when running sort of kind of wore out feet and especially of my friends, I looked for other things to be outdoors and was invited to kind of go out and get into the mountains with a friend, a teacher friend. And he said it had to be trained before I could do that. And so I went through the Olympic College mountaineering course in Bremerton. And then after that, just felt pretty good about it. Spent several years climbing and scrambling around in the Olympics, doing things like Mount Olympus or Mount Constance or Mount Townsend, or I'm sure that I've done probably over 50 or 60 different peaks in the Olympics. But then I went on and I wanted to keep doing that. I wanted to do some more technical climbing. So I joined the Mountaineers and went through their intermediate climbing course, became an instructor, became a climb leader. And that kind of just opened a lot of doors for me to be able to keep going with people wanting to go with me, and then having the experience of leadership as well. And I got a lot of that leadership because of my educational training as well, working with kids and adults at the school level. So it's just kind of kept going. And then Elaine and I got together, and we kind of exchanged stories about being in the mountains and what our goals were, what we wanted to do. And I remember one of the things was that I just said, well, I've always wanted to climb Denali. This has been on my list. And she goes, well, why don't you? And I go, like, well, it's pretty expensive. And you go, like, what? We can afford it. So when are we going to go? And we've, you know, been around people that do that. We even had a chance to sit down at a dinner with a very small, intimate dinner with Jim Whittaker.
No kidding.
And
to clarify for our guest, Jim Whittaker is famous for?
He's famous for being the first American to summit Mount Everest.
And he's a local.
In 1963, yeah. And so we were chatting with him and says, who are you? What have you done? And we kind of described some of them. Elaine was right there with me. And he said, so when are you going to climb Everest? And I go like, I didn't know what to say. And he says, come on. If you can do Denali, which we had done, he says, you can do Everest. He says, you can organize. If you know how that goes, you can just do it. You just get some all the other people that are going to go with you to buy the permit. You get out there in front and you get it done. So that's not something that we'd have done or that we actually want to do because we think it's like a pretty dangerous thing at this point in our life.
Well, it's interesting because you sort of anticipated my next question. It begins with, is this the Pacific Crest Trail your ultimate quest, or is it just a warm-up for something more difficult like Mount Everest? But now I guess that's off the table, huh?
Yes, I think the bigger mountains are off the table at this point, particularly Mount Everest is just not worth it to us. We may want to travel to see it, but not actually climb it. But we don't know what will happen next. There are other long-distance trails to be done, and we'll see how this one goes and how the years after that go. But there's other long-distance trails are possibilities if this trip ends up being as awesome as we anticipated.
Ah.
Yeah, we just, I think we keep adding to our and modifying our bucket list as it was as we go along. It's not something that we just have set out, and we're always looking for new opportunities.
Now, I know you two are just rookies at this retirement thing, but if you can imagine a time when you're not still young, relatively young, vibrant and healthy, what might your days look like then? Can you imagine yourselves knitting or playing cards at the Port Ludlow Bay Club, telling stories to disbelieving old folks about the time you hiked the Pacific Crest Trail?
Well, we already play cards and I knit. So we have a variety of interests as well as golf. We hope to always stay active and continue to have stories. That's our goal.
We always kind of, I guess I kind of have that idea that someday we'll, then I'll put on a backpack at a elderly age and head off on some trip and set up the tent and go in and lay down one night and that's it.
And that's it. What better way to go, huh? Go gently into that good night.
I think so.
Well, we'd like to talk to both of you when you return, if you're willing to do that, so you can tell your listeners, our listeners, about all your adventures on the trail. But for now, since you are both experienced hikers, what advice would you give to someone who thinks, wow, this sounds exciting, and I'd like to do that too? Someone who's going to try something like this for the first time. What advice?
I would say that they should actually go out and be on the trail for at least a week at a time or more to see what it's actually like. Because it is amazing how many people that we have been in contact and read about who this is their first real experience. And it's hard to know how successful they'll be, but I think whatever experience before you do that to make sure that you want to make that big commitment would be what I would suggest.
Mm-hmm. And Mike?
Well, I think that, you got to do it. You've got to build a good foundation of how to be self-sufficient, know your gear, put together good gear, take time, go on lots of trips, go in a variety of conditions. We've gone out and camped in the middle of the winter time just to get winter camping experience. We've gone in heat just to know how that would be. But build a foundation of good experiences so that you don't have to depend on other people. And then just kind of set a goal and say, that's what I want to do, but then have a reasonable expectation about what it's going to take.
With Port Ludlow hikers Mike and Elaine Raymond, this is David Cunningham for KPTZ News. The Compass airs Mondays and Saturdays at noon, Tuesdays at 5 p.m., and Wednesdays at 10 a.m., exclusively here on KPTZ, the home of eclectic, authentic community radio.